Our next speaker is Doug Present. Doug is the chairman of a number of pharmaceutical firms and medical companies. He also teaches at the Wharton Business School. Doug, why don't you go ahead?
So thanks, Larry. The course that I do teach at Wharton focuses on understanding how we provide healthcare services in the U.S. And one of the most interesting things to me to see over the last couple of months was how our previous efforts to continually lower costs in our healthcare system led us to be incredibly ill-prepared to handle the volume that came with the pandemic. We first saw this with the lack of available hospital beds. If we were in my classroom now, I would be showing you all slides about how the number of hospital beds per 1,000 people has been reduced by over 60% in the last couple of decades, and how the money being spent on hospital services versus non-hospital services is also dropping rapidly every year. We've continued to push to lower the length of stay for each procedure while carving out, moving out care from hospitals into less expensive settings like ambulatory surgery centers, nursing homes, and home care. This trend was considered all well and good until perhaps it was no longer well and no longer good. The analogy I've been using has been in the airline industry, where in the race to become ever more efficient, the industry was successful in reducing their capacity and getting more and more people stuffed onto every plane, which is good until you have a 2-foot snowstorm and passengers take 4 days to get home. We've just had the hospital version of the 2-foot snowstorm, which has led to some extreme measures, such as canceling all the elective procedures to meet that challenge. I would suggest that the canceling of colonoscopies, biopsies, and other elective procedures may soon lead to a whole new set of problems, with a recent study showing that 30% of people reported not receiving needed medical care over the last couple of months, either because the procedure was a canceled elective or because they were afraid of catching the virus. I've heard governors and college presidents talking about the need to have excess hospital capacity to handle future flare-ups as one of the key criteria for allowing the city or the school to reopen. It's just not clear to me where these beds are going to come from once we allow elective procedures to take place again. So the virus has clearly exposed our lack of hospital capacity to handle significant surges, and we're going to need some better strategies if we do have future flare-ups. The next area you all watched where we were ill-prepared was in our healthcare supply chain. When the 2-foot snowstorm hit, we just did not have enough PPE to handle the volume. I've spent a lot of my career in the healthcare supply chain, and I had people calling me to say, how is it even possible that the United States could not produce enough masks, gloves, and gowns? The answer was, of course, we can do it. We just haven't. We've become very good at sourcing the cheapest possible products, often from China. We've also gone to just-in-time inventory so that if we needed 1,000 units of an item based on yesterday's usage, we had exactly 1,000 units on hand to distribute. Again, all well and good until you unexpectedly need 5,000 units tomorrow. When these people called, I did tell them the supply would soon rise to meet the demand, and you probably wouldn't be hearing about the PPE issue in 4 weeks. I do think that was mostly correct, and I really wasn't surprised to see how quickly the supply chain adjusted. Of course, during those 4 weeks, you had healthcare workers having to do their jobs without the right equipment. And while I'm glad we're recognizing these folks now as heroes, the healthcare workers I know did not sign up to be heroes or risk their lives. I think that having them have to take care of sick people without the right equipment was, to me, one of the worst parts of the recent crisis. So efficiency in the supply chain is a good thing. However, it's clear to me we're going to need to create a stockpile of these supplies to meet future surges in demand, as we can't expect individual companies in the supply chain or the providers themselves to house this stockpile. The federal government's supposed stockpile of PPE was pretty insufficient and obsolete. Both Governors Murphy and Cuomo, and as recently as this morning, a 7-state coalition came together to say, we have to address this problem, and I do think it will be handled in the states in the future. The last area where we were pretty ill-prepared was in the area of commercial labs and testing. Two of the major players dominate the commercial lab space, and we've only recently started finding creative solutions like deputizing drugstores to draw specimens. In his earlier talk, Andy discussed this, so I'm not going to repeat what he said. But again, not having this lab capacity continues to create some significant pain. I do expect that we will, again, be able to meet this demand over the next couple of months, and I don't think you'll have people talking about the lack of lab testing in the near future. We are going to need these deputies, and we are going to need a thoughtful plan. I want to ask you all to think for a minute about the day we get a vaccine and how quickly you are all going to want to get one. In addition to being able to make enough doses, think about the needles, vials, stoppers, other supply chain items, and all the resources that are going to be required to actually inject 330 million people, perhaps twice. If we are truly preparing for that effort now, I'm not aware of it. So I will conclude. Basically, my point here today was that the pandemic exposed some real significant vulnerabilities in our healthcare system, which we had never seen before due to this unprecedented increase in volume. People not getting home for days after a snowstorm is certainly a nuisance. If our healthcare system isn't prepared for major surges in demand, the stakes are much higher. We are going to need to be much better prepared for future surges in volume, and we really need to start focusing now for when it's time to administer a vaccine. And I will stop there and turn it back to Larry.
Perfect. Thank you, Doug.